Dvija, the Brahmanas. Guru, the spiritual master. Pragya, unworshipable personalities. Unworshipable personalities. Pujanam, worship. Socham, cleanliness. Arjavam, simplicity. Brahmacharyam, celibacy. Ahimsa, non-violence. Cha, also. Shariram, pertaining to the body. Tapaha, austerity. Uchyate, is said to be. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Austerity of the body consists in worship of the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas, the spiritual master, and superiors like the father and mother, and in cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy, and non-violence. If you would like to repeat with me, very, very nice. Austerity of the body consists in worship of the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas, the spiritual master, and superiors like the father and mother, and in cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy, and non-violence. Purport. The Supreme Godhead here explains the different kinds of austerity and penance. First, He explains the austerities and penances practiced by the body. One should offer or learn to offer respect to God or to the demigods. The perfect qualified brahmanas and the spiritual master and superiors like father, mother or any person who is conversant with Vedic knowledge. There should be given proper respect. One should practice cleansing oneself externally and internally, and he should learn to become simply in behavior. He should not do anything which is not sanctioned by the scriptural injunctions. He should not indulge in sex outside of married life, for sex is sanctioned in the scripture only in marriage, not otherwise. This is called celibacy. There are penances and austerities as far as the body is concerned. Omakiana Timirandasya, this is page 1. Jananjana Salakaya, Chakshurum Militam Yena, Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha, Si Chaitanya Manovistam, Stapitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Swapadantikam, Vandeham Si Guru Si Yuta Padakamalam, Sri Gurum Vaishnavamsya, Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana, Raghunatam Vitam Samsajivam, Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakam Vitamsya, E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rubhyacha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaisnavevyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, as I said, today's class is supposed to be given by another person, Janandre Prabhu, but he's not here. And Mav is telling me to talk something, and everyone who I was asking, because I was kind of feeling, I think Jean André is not coming, half an hour ago, so I was asking as many people, and everyone said, no, you should give class. And it's just, I don't know what to say, to be honest. But maybe we can have a collective class today, and we can check the main points in the purport, and let's see if we can enlighten one another. That's what Lord Krishna is saying in one of the verses in Bhagavad Gita, that the devotees enjoy the association, you know, and enlighten one another, because they they talk about transcendental knowledge about the Lord. Which verse is that one? Anybody knows? This verse talking about 15, is it? 14. It's one verse that the Lord saying that the devotees, actually it's 10, you know, it's 10, 11? One of the Chaturasloki verses? I don't know. Which one? Okay, yeah, thank you. That's today's verse. But actually, I'm just looking for one verse, that the other one, yeah, is 10.9. I said 10.11, it's 10.9. If you go to 10.9, please, let's read the Sanskrit together. It's page 517. And here there is a mistake in the book. They forgot to stick here the Sanskrit. It's just a transliteration. Machita madgata prana. Bodhayanta parasparam. Katayanta chamam nityam. Tusyanti charamanti cha. So this first line on page 518, katayantas chamam nityam. Katayanta means talking, like when you say Krishna kata, right? And then mam, about me, always, perpetually. Which means that the translation goes like this. Thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Should I read the purport also? Maybe I should read the purport. Pure devotees whose characteristics are mentioned here engage themselves fully in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. Their talks are solely on the transcendental subjects. The symptoms of the pure devotees are described in this verse specifically. Devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna, and they take pleasure in discussing Him with other devotees. Which is I was referring, because I don't know really what to say, because I haven't prepared anything. And Karuna Maji was explaining to me and to Marek how to, kind of, we were asking what is the best way to give class, you know, because we like to give, but we just don't feel qualified. And Mangalabati, this Spanish-speaking person who was living in Sweden, is living there with his family. He just engaged me in asking people to give class. So I'm just asking everyone, would you like to give class? And everyone is feeling very much like super scared. I don't want to give. And because the mind is so powerful, you know, we don't feel qualified. But I wasn't expecting today, and I didn't prepare the class, because Karuna Maji is explaining to us you should check the main points of the purport and check those in the Vedabase, you know, like the main points. Like, for example, in this verse we're reading today, 17.14, we could say, for example, the main purports, you could check in the Vedabase austerity, which is a key word, no, isn't it? In the first word of the translation, if you look, austerity, and then you can also check, for example, the spiritual master, or you could check brahmanas, or superiors, and then the Vedavyasa is giving you so many words, so many hits, you know? And then from that you get other quotes, other verses from the Gita, and the ones you feel like, then you can actually construct a nice class, you know, kind of like a thread. Then you take all those information and you make a nice, it's like making a pizza. You make like the mass, you know, and then you make a pizza finally. This is kind of constructing a nice class. So basically, today's verse, maybe you can help me, and we can talk and enlighten one another. Today's class is talking about the austerities of the body, the austerities of the body, austerity of speech, and austerities of the mind. Please. So austerity means something which is austere, right? Which is not pleasing initially. Like attraction between men and women at the beginning is very, very pleasing, isn't it? You see a beautiful girl and, you know, at the beginning it's like nectar. But at the end it's like, normally it's like, how many times, you know, we have experience in life, like it becomes trouble and they fight and they get bored one another, you know, all the life with the same person, you know. But Krishna consciousness is the opposite, because it starts like very, sometimes you have to wake up, you know, it's very difficult, you know, many things, many people find is at the beginning is like poison, but later becomes like so pleasing and so nectar, more and more nectar. So this is an austerity, you know, austerities you have to do, like follow certain rules. Yeah, like you know, like don't drink. Like sometimes one day you feel like drinking something and you don't drink, you don't smoke, you follow certain things, you know. You reduce your eating, etc. But here specifically the verse is speaking about austerities of the body. And then tomorrow's verse is about austerity of speech. And in this way, the next one is the mind, you see? So, to worship the Supreme Lord, this is the first austerity of the body, which we are doing here. And then also the brahmanas, the spiritual master and superiors like father and mother. Also cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy and non-violence. So I'm going to ask you a question maybe, because I'm stuck now, I don't know what to say. So I'm just asking, what do you think, Madhu? Is superiors like mother and father and spiritual master, we have to do all these things? Or because we're just chanting Hare Krishna, we can actually just kind of forget about, we just focus on the mantra and the things that we're doing in the temple?
No, we should do that. What you can also do is you can just guide us a little bit to the purport. That's what I usually do. I just read the purport again, and if something comes up, because you got already the next text is scheduled, right? But you could even go to the next text if you want, because you can speak on these things eternally, you know. So no, but definitely, I mean, as far as I understand, all these things have to be there. I mean, like he's saying, non-violence, but. Ultimately, he's ordering Arjuna to fight, but at the same time, he's saying here that he has to be non-violent, or he's explaining about austerity of the body. Generally, Arjuna, he didn't want to fight. Although he's a fighter, he's non-violent, actually. It's just that he's ordered by Krishna that he engages in fighting. So, I think all these things, definitely, we should try to... like, I just went to my father's funeral. So it was not very easy, and when I read this, I thought, oh, I could have maybe respected him a little bit better. I just couldn't do it, you know. So that it was too austere for me to, yeah, to my father I could have been more respectful. But it says here that it's austere. So, and just even today, because I was looking at the next verse, I was using some swear words. That's also not good. Shouldn't do that. That's austere of speech. So, yeah, definitely, I think we should follow these things. Yeah. No, just in a phone call. It was like in a funny way, but still, I shouldn't have done it, you see?
Yeah, that's the austerity of speech, yeah? Which is means not pleasing to others. Marek, please sit here with us. No, there's no pushing. So, yeah, actually, I was thinking to give everyone, you could just nicely come closer, and then we can talk, all of us, because I'm not qualified at all to talk here, so I think maybe you can also participate. Anyone want to share anything? Really? Come, we put this in.
No. Maybe you can repeat the question, then we understand it very well.
So I'm saying that we should be
not that point. The question was.
Which question?
The question.
The question I was asking.
Yes. Okay, so let's read the PowerPoint again and let's see this. Maybe we can actually see some other have realizations about what Prabhupada is saying more in depth. So, PowerPoint, like His Divine Grace, Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Godhead here explains the different kinds of austerity and penance. First, He explains the austerities and penances practiced by the body. One should offer or learn to offer respect to God or to the demigods, the perfect qualified brahmanas and the spiritual master and superiors like father, mother or any person who is conversant with Vedic knowledge. This should be given proper respect. One should practice cleansing oneself externally and internally, and he should learn to become simply in behavior. He should not do anything which is not sanctioned by the scriptural injunctions. He should not indulge in sex outside of married life, or for sex is sanctioned in the scripture only in marriage, not otherwise. This is called celibacy. There are penances and austerities as far as the body is concerned. Marek Prabhu? So if you come closer, then you can...
I have a question to whoever can answer. Second or third sentence here. It says here one should offer to learn to offer, one should offer or learn to offer respect to God or to demigods, the perfect quality of brahmanas and the spiritual master and superiors like father and mother or any person who is conversant with Vedic knowledge. My question is, we know what kind of obeisance is the respect we should offer to brahmanas and God, demigods, etc. But superiors like mother and father, I have never heard I was never told what kind of respect to offer to him. Maybe Madhu Gopal. He's been probably here the longest. Have you got an idea?
I don't think much more than you. you have any idea? You're from Spain. I think in Spain it's a little bit more traditional, no? Maybe you can say something about it? Yeah.
Well, traditionally it was not myself. For example, my parents, they were addressing their own parents respectfully and very much respectfully, like father, mother, like that, you know. And not only that, in dealings, normal dealings, for example, somebody that you are meeting and the dealings. In my father's time, of course, youth now is completely different. Like everyone is like not going to church. Or, okay, there are many people that still go, especially religious groups and this and that, but has been very much lost. But maybe 60 years ago and before, people used to say to your feet, things like that, you know. House meditate, and I don't know, in Holland also, maybe also. But this is very nice because it shows the remnants maybe of much more respectful times, you know. So, but now it's very much lost, you know, more and more as the Kali Yuga advances, unfortunately. Spain was a very religious country, but since a few decades ago, it's like everything is like more and more Kali Yuga-esque, I would say. What to do? So we have to spread Krishna consciousness somehow or another. Anyone, any realizations, please? You say in Spanish it's called a tus pies, no? A sus pies. It means to your feet, means I'm your servant, kind of thing, you know? It's a common, used to be said like that. I heard my father saying that many times, but. Yeah, or even when in commercial dealings also, he used to say like this, you know, to your feet it means that I am here in order to serve you, whatever you need, you know, kind of thing. Yeah, I'm sure in Poland also, right?
I can't remember all of them now, but I remember basics like whenever we were spoken to or whenever we were talking to older persons who could be our grandmothers or grandfathers, my mother or my father was always say, you take the hat off and then you answer politely. If you see someone old on the bus, you ask if they want to sit in your seat, things like that. It was really when I was like 5-10 years old, we used to be totally different. What I see nowadays. And it's not just only in Western countries like Holland or Britain. From what I hear, it's everywhere where European Union reaches. You know, we used to dream in Poland to be a member of European Union. You know, in the 70s, 80s. But of course, it has its pluses and minuses. But society has become very laicized. The God is pushed away. Again, I can give example when Poland was ruled by the Communist Party, the churches were full, and the churches were being built at such a rate, it was just unprecedented. We had highest rate of priests among European countries. And nowadays, the call out for the priests, people who feel who feel the vocation to become a priest, they become less and less. Churches are very empty. Remember, they became very empty overnight, almost in June 1989, when communism was officially abolished in Poland. Within weeks, it was just, I've never seen something like that. From churches being full. Really, you couldn't sometimes get into a church when the priest was qualified and educated, and they used to give nice sermons, nice lectures. Within weeks, when we knew that communism is gone, you know, empty, really, just few older people in churches. It's yeah. That's Kali Yuga, as you said, Prabhu.
I have one question, but my English is very, very bad, so I try to. Okay. In fact, now I read one book about Saint Francis of Assisi, and this verse remembers this devotee, because in fact for me he is a devotee, and I have one question. On this book, I read. The saint is very, very poor and very austere. And his comportement, you know, his way of life is very, very, very austere. I don't think it's very austere. So my question is, what's the difference between very austere? So it's one times of week, just one time of week, like him, and between us. We take prashad every day, and we are also austere. But what's the difference, you know, between between Krishna consciousness and Christian like him? In fact, it's not very clear. But my English is. You know what I mean? Madhu Gopal, maybe. I'm not sure, because Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita the jeûne, the fasting is not good for the body. Too fasting is not good for the body, because Krishna said, "I'm in your body." So your austerity, too much austerity is not good for you and for me, Krishna. Krishna says that. So. My question is, when the austerity is too much?
When you hit yourself like in a night movie? What?
Yes.
Lord Chaitanya says that the only austerity that we can do in the Kali Yuga is Chantari Vishnu. It's the only austerity that is acceptable. So, if you fast or something, it's like it's good for you.
Of course, but that's the knowledge that we have. But he means the austerity in Christian. They don't know to chant Hare Krishna. So what's good for them? Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Mm.
I think also that St. Francis of Assisi, to start with, he lived in a different age, and the austerities he was performing, of course, was very severe. But people in those ages, I don't know where precisely he, which age, which century he used to live, 12th or 13th. People were more used to austerities. The life was generally much tougher, much. More severe, and of course he was able to do, to perform those austerities. But as Mataji said, that for this age the best yagya, the best sacrifice, and best austerities are and the easiest to perform for people of Kali Yuga is are singing of the holy name. But if one can perform even something more austere than we do here. And it's usually I used to believe that everyone has their own path to God, and we should follow the path to God that we believe is right, and sooner or later we come across the religion or faith that is right for us. Krishna will guide us, and of course we know that Krishna consciousness is the easiest way and the best way, the shortest way to back to Godhead. But it's up to everyone to keep searching, and so these were my few thoughts.
This is like the potato. It's hot potato. You don't wanna keep in your hands, right? So don't know. It's just like 5 minutes more, and I was checking austerity in the general index at the end of the book. There are many quotes on austerity in bathing, like you take a bath, bathing of body by brahmachari as a brahminical activity, as brahminical quality. Then Chandra Yana. This is related to the moon, is it? It's confirmed by Maru. It's page 256. Let's check this. 256. We were in this purport. It's chapter 4, text 28, page 256, and on top is explaining about different kinds of charities in India specifically. And austerities people do. So, for example, Dharmashala and etc., Atithi Shala. And one of them is this Chandrayana. I guess it's to go to the moon, right? Chandrayana. There are others who for higher elevation in life or for promotion to higher planets within the universe voluntarily accept many kinds of austerities such as Chandrayana and Chaturmasya. Prabhupada was commenting, actually his disciples wanted to, by reading Bhagavatam, they feel really much like they, because they are descriptions of the heavenly planets, you know, and then it's very attractive because they enjoy very much, and sometimes maybe you feel inspired to go to the heavenly planets, but Prabhupada was a bit concerned because I think he even decided, is that right, to not to talk too much or restrict a little bit about the heavenly planets situation descriptions, because the disciples were very much like that. So, is that correct? Prabhupada was a bit concerned. He was like, no, this is just, you should go back to Godhead, you know.
Wrote about it, but all the time he was warning about it. I don't want to say he was worried, but he warned them. Yeah.
What do I say now? So basically, all these austerities should be performed in a mood of bhakti, you know, a devotional attitude, otherwise you're just not connecting with the Lord, and then there is no real benefit. And any question, comments? Anyone?
I think it's right in front of you. The answer, I mean, Krishna is telling here what is austerity, no? So what if that monk that you were reading about, if he was doing this, then it's all right. Written here, this is Krishna, this is, you know, he believed in God, right? So he was trying to follow God. So this is what God is saying. He's saying that you should worship Krishna, you should worship the Supreme Lord, you should worship Brahmanas, the spiritual master superiors. And you should, austerity of the body also means cleanliness. Mm-hmm. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that it means inside and outside. Mm-hmm. So, like she was saying, for inside cleanliness we need to chant. Mm-hmm. So, and then simplicity. I mean, simple behavior. So that he was specifically doing. No? What's his name? Thomas from Assisi? Saint Francis from Assisi, yes. And I remember he was specifically very respectful to the animals. No?
Yes.
Yes. But he was basically simple in behavior. That was one of his main things, you know. And he wasn't doing anything not sanctioned by scriptural injunctions. He wasn't killing any animals. You see? So he was following this. He didn't have sex,
he's very close,
right? He was celibate, yeah. Yeah, and to answer your question about prasadam, I mean, we should become like that, you know. But it is a gradual process, and also this is like the perfect process, because you know, Francis from Assisi didn't have this. I always call it inside information. So we have a chance to get to the perfection. So it takes time. And like he's saying, they were explaining that now things have a little bit degraded. Like in the time from Francis, things were more pure. So from us, you know, like I come from Amsterdam, we would used to go to bars and clubs. And so to go from there to walking around in the forest and not eating, it would be too much. So you gradually have to come to that stage. It takes time. But if you chant Hare Krishna, like she was saying, then all these qualities will gradually develop. Like I was talking about my father, I thought I could have been more respectful. Because when you chant, then you understand that, oh, my father, he is like representative of Krishna, and he did so much for me, and like that you become more conscious, Krishna conscious. You see, then automatically you will respect your father if you become Krishna conscious. And these other things also, cleanliness, simplicity. Like Prabhupada, he had so much money, but he was always living simple. You see, and non-violence, it's kind of, he doesn't explain it in the Prabhupada, because it's explained in the second chapter. If you become violent, then you lose your intelligence. You know, so of course, I gave the example of Arjuna. It's a little bit different because he was ordered by Krishna. But generally, we don't get violent. You know, it's not good for the body. It's not good for spiritual life. So and then, you know, tomorrow we have another verse. But all these things, that is actually the idea, that if you chant Hare Krishna and you follow this process, then you will, and you have to also develop these qualities. But it will go gradually.
You said that, you say after the chant Hare Krishna, it's we become pure. But I think some persons, religious persons like Christians or maybe Buddhists too, also. I think they are so pure, and I think probably most pure than some devotees, you know. So, and they don't chant Hare Krishna. So, you know.
It's a little bit difficult. It's a little bit difficult to understand this. Like I said, in Narada Muni says Shrama Evi Kevalam. If you're not a devotee, then everything else, it will end in failure. Now specifically, of course, the Buddhists, they're in some kind of devotees because they're worshipping Lord Buddha, but according to scripture they're actually atheists because they don't believe in God. That is usually what I didn't want to say that, but she's saying, you know, probably next life to become a devotee. It's actually understood like that. That, you know, the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, it speaks about that we're not this body. And then there is another verse that Yesam Twantakatam Papam Yaniam Punya Karmanam, that you have to come at the end of your sinful life, and then you can become a devotee. So generally it's understood that that devotees, they are actually, they went through all these things, and they're actually sinless. Otherwise they couldn't come here. Now, I know what you mean, but first of all, it is prasadam. You know, it is spiritual food. The Buddhists generally, they don't have that concept. So that is already one thing. But I think ultimately you are right. You know, and if you look like if you look at Srila Prabhupada, I mean, as far as I can understand, he was as austere and as pure as any Buddhist, more pure. You see, so that is the, he's giving the example. You know, Prabhupada was, but at the same time, he was also taking nice prasadam. But generally, he took as much as he needed. That's the high level. You take prasadam just as much as you need. In the beginning, and I'm still doing that, then you take too much. You see? But then gradually you become more attracted to the service, and like you fall asleep, and then you think, this is disturbing my service. I ate too much. And then automatically, out of love, because you want to do the service good, you will eat less. You understand? Well, I talked about it this morning. Or not this morning, but yesterday. That if you do the service, then you will be pushed. You know, like I had to prepare the class, and I was a little bit nervous, and I was completely concentrated on that. You see, so... so this devotional service, then when you do it, then you, these things that will develop, like I explained, you have some service that you really like, and then you don't want to eat too much because then you cannot concentrate. So automatically you will, out of love, out of concentration, out of seriousness, you will adjust. It will not be difficult for you because you just want to do your service. It's not that you want to eat less, it's that you want to do your service. You see the difference? So therefore it goes automatically. And the Buddha is there trying to fast. You see, they're doing all these things, but there's no substitute. So ultimately they will fall back. And in one sense it's the same with the Christians. Because they want to get to some stage and then they will be happy. So many times they have that concept that we do austerities and then we... We have that concept also somehow or other, but Krishna explains that it is joyfully performed. Because the devotional service itself is so pleasing. So that is what happened with the Goswamis. They forgot about eating and sleeping. They were also, like Francisco from Assisi, going into the forest. But they weren't talking to the animals. You see, they were writing books. But they were also not eating. I mean, maybe they were talking to the animals, but they were doing service. That's my point.
I don't understand the animals.
No, I'm saying the Goswamis, they were also in the forests, yeah, writing. Maybe they were talking to the animals, but it was not their main thing. Their main thing was to write these books. Mm. You can see how much different it is from Franciscus from Assisi. I mean, maybe he was also writing books, I don't know. But, you know, it is much more cultured. They were ordered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to write his books, but they were doing the same austerities as him. They were almost not eating and they were living in the forest. But they were doing it because they had to concentrate on writing. You see, so it is the austerities are in service of God. Like I explained, the Father is considered the representative of God. So everything is always seen in that light. But yeah, generally with the Christians it's a little bit confused or distorted. The Bible itself also, it's not very clear. It's a little bit mystical, you know. Bhagavad Gita, it's very clear. I'm sure if Franciscus from Assisi would have seen the Bhagavad Gita, he would have really liked it. So I think ultimately he's right. Next life, he would become a devotee. Maybe he went to India, you know. Came a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Every austerity is good, you said to me. You understand me? I said, okay. Every austerity is good. And you said, no, it's not true. Why do you say that? Why? I'm wondering why.
I tell you, because Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita said, I'm in the
body of all identity, you know? So I don't know the verse exactly, but Krishna says that. So when you fast too much, me, Krishna, I have pain also, because you torture you. I don't know in English. You. Yes, you torture, you know what I mean. You cause pain to your body, and I'm in your body. So Krishna, thank you.
Thank you.
I do my best. You are thinking you want to be the best austerity because you want perfection. You want to be back to Godhead again now immediately. But I mean, when I say every austerity is good, to become more and more devotional, life after life. So in that view, every austerity is good. You understand what I mean?
Yes, I understand. Yes.
Oh. Okay.
I don't know the chapter 4. What, 28? Ah, okay, yes, okay. I understand now. 28. I read. Anything done as sacrifice, charity or penance without faith in the Supreme, O son of Pritha, is impermanent. It is called asat and is useless both in this life and the next. Anything done without the transcendental objective, whether it be sacrifice, charity or penance, is useless. Therefore, in this verse, it is declared that such activities are abominable. Everything should be done for the Supreme in Krishna consciousness. Without such faith and without the proper guidance, there can never be any fruits. In all the Vedic scriptures, faith in the Supreme is advised. In the pursuit of all Vedic instruction, the ultimate goal is the understanding of Krishna. No one can obtain success without following this principle. Therefore, the best course is to work from the very beginning in Krishna consciousness under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. That is the way to make everything successful. In the conditional state, people are... Okay.
You have to do it for Krishna. Otherwise, the austerity is... it's not so good. And it can also be, like he's saying, it can also be destructive. It's called, like austerity in the mode of ignorance. So, and you can read the end.
But even then, is it good? Even when it's in the mode of ignorance, every austerity become, you know, everything that you want to do in... Oh, I think so. No, maybe no fruit, but it's not worse than you do nothing from austerity, you know?
Krishna don't tell us.
I don't know where it is.
Yes.
See if you don't need to.
You can
read. Oh, where? In the conditional state, people are attracted to worshipping demigods, ghosts, or yaksas like Kuvera. The mode of goodness is better than the modes of passion and ignorance. But one who takes directly to Krishna consciousness is transcendental to all three modes of material nature. Although there is a process of gradual elevation, if one by the association of pure devotees takes directly to Krishna consciousness, that is the best way. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. It is the best way, but the other ways are also good in their stage of consciousness. That's what I mean. You know? Okay.
That's what he's saying. There is a process of gradual elevation.
But maybe we don't understand it because we are now in the mode of, we're trying to be in the mode of goodness and we want to go back to Godhead immediately, but we can't forget the other people on the planet Earth. You know, they are doing also austerities, but in another mood, and it's better than do nothing of austerities. Yeah? Hare Krishna.
If you check, please, verse 5 and 6.
5 and 6 of this same chapter, page 775. Page 775 in this book is text 5 and 6. 775. Yeah. It's chapter 17, verse 5 and 6. Maybe if you like, we can read the translation. Should I read it? Just not to change the microphone. Everything. Those who undergo severe austerities and penances not recommended in the scriptures. This is the key point, I think. Not recommended in the scriptures. Performing them out of pride and egoism, which means not offered to Krishna, right? Just selfishly. Who are impelled by lust and attachment, who are foolish, and who torture the material elements of the body as well as the super soul dwelling within, are to be known as demons. Yeah, and the purport goes like this. There are persons who manufacture modes of austerity and penance which are not mentioned in the scriptural injunctions. This is actually what we're talking about. For instance, fasting for soul some ulterior purpose, such as to promote a purely political end, is not mentioned in the scriptural directions. The scriptures recommend fasting for spiritual advancement, not for some political end or social purpose. Persons who take to such austerities are, according to Bhagavad Gita, certainly demoniac. Their acts are against the scriptural injunctions and are not beneficial for the people in general. Actually, they act out of pride, false ego, lust, and attachment for material enjoyment. By such activities, not only is the combination of material elements of which the body is constructed disturbed, but also the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself living within the body. Such unauthorized fasting or austerities for some political end are certainly very disturbing to others. They are not mentioned in the Vedic literature. A demoniac person may think that he can force his enemy or other parties to comply with his desire. Hare Krishna, welcome. To his desire by this method. But sometimes one dies by such fasting. We read in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17. You can, if you like. We're almost finishing. But you feel free to take one Gita from the, or he'll give you actually one. So it's chapter 17, text 6. Text 6, chapter 17. And just reading for the purport, halfway. These acts are not approved by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he says that those who engage in them are demons. Such demonstrations are insults to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they are enacted in disobedience to the Vedic scriptural injunctions. I'm just halfway, eh? The word achetasaha is significant in this connection. Persons of normal mental condition must obey the scriptural injunctions. Those who are not in such a position neglect and disobey the scriptures and manufacture their own way of austerities and penance. One should always remember the ultimate end of the demoniac people and described in the previous chapter. The Lord forces them to take birth in the wombs of demoniac persons. Consequently, they will live by demoniac principles life after life without knowing their relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If, however, such persons are fortunate enough to be guided by a spiritual master who can direct them to the path of Vedic wisdom, they can get out of disentanglement and ultimately achieve the supreme goal. Comments?
Yes, I have. Because it's in a purport, it's must say the... the scriptures recommend fasting for spiritual advancement, not for some political and or social purpose. But the Christians, for example, My example is Christians don't fast for political or social purpose. He's fasting for them. So it's a little bit different. It's a purpose, a spiritual purpose. So.
Yeah, so if you, because this purpose was very kind of, I almost want to say like negative. I mean, but it's very clear that he promises that they just go down bird after bird. But if you read the previous purpose to this, because you have to also understand this point, because this is an important point. So it's not everything. But if you read the previous text, then you see more what you're saying. You see? It's goodness, passion, and ignorance. And then in the purport, Prabhupada says that, I can read it. Let me just read the whole paragraph. It's not the last one, but the one before the last one. Now it is clearly described that those who are in the modes of passion worship and create such gods, and those who are in the mode of ignorance, in darkness, worship dead spirits. Sometimes people worship at the tomb of some dead man. Sexual service is also considered to be in the mode of darkness. Similarly, in remote villages in India, there are worshippers of ghosts. We have seen that in India, the lower class people sometimes go to the forest, and they have knowledge that a ghost lives in a tree. They worship that tree and offer sacrifices. These different kinds of worship are not actually God worship. God worship is for persons who are transcendently situated in pure goodness. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 4.3.23, it is said, Satvang Visudang Vasudha Sapditam. When a man is situated in pure goodness, he worships Vasudev. The purport is that those who are completely purified of the material modes of nature and who are transcendently situated can worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this verse, Prabhupada is a little bit more descriptive of what they're doing. But in the next purport, Krishna is saying it himself. He says, Asura Nischayan. Vidi Asura Nischayan. You should consider them to be demons. So.
How can I say it? I was busy with ghosts, calling ghosts, but in the same time I was very religious. So imagine that I left my body then. So I don't think if I was die that everything of my religion in my heart was lost, you know? That's what. Who said, yeah, who says that? Who say that? Maybe they are devotees in their heart and they don't know and they are with the same friends. And no, that's true. Yeah, it is. Me too. That's true. Yeah, it is not good, but okay, he knows everyone's heart, and it's not because you do it with ghosts that you, when you left your body, that you are going to a lower planet or something. He knows who we are, and. You think? Oh. Never do it again.
But that is what Prabhupada also says. The Bible is generally, which are given by the Lord Jesus, he's like a spiritual master. So you were lucky enough, someone gave you the Bible. So that was your misfortune. You see? So that is what Prabhupada says here.
Yeah, okay.
We don't realize that, oh, just a book, but actually it's given to us by someone. And that someone who gave you the Bible is some sort of spiritual master.
And you said luck, but it's it has to do with your karma from, okay, it's not luck.
Oh.
Luck for yourself, lucky for, yeah. Mm. Okay.
And therefore, these activities can be
done. Yeah. Okay.
Just last comment, because we have already seen that the Kirtan Brigade is checking on us. Coming back to St. Francis of Assisi, I remember we had a conversation the other day, last night or whatever, about him. And we remember that we heard that Prabhupada said about St. Francis of Assisi that he was God conscious.
Yeah.
It was his way of being God conscious. He was very austere. But as we mentioned, these were different times. He used to live in Italy in 13th century, St. Francis of Assisi. Mm-hmm. He's a Christian saint. And as we say, he was God conscious. It was his way. Maybe in the next life he became a devotee of the Lord somewhere in India.
So he was a
devotee. Yes, yes. He was a devotee according to Prabhupada. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
No, but that was what I was saying, that we can come to that level, but it is a gradual process.
Yes, yes.
And definitely we should respect them very, very much, mm-hmm. for sure. That's why I gave the example of the Goswamis, they were doing like that also. So definitely we have to respect them, for sure.
Quick comment about, actually, there was from Venezuela, when I was in Spain, this disciple of Prabhupada, he wrote this book, Srila Prabhupada in Venezuela. And just as Axios Prabhu, now he took sannyas. And he was actually describing, he did a seminar in a South Spain temple, Malaga. And then he described San John of the Cross, San Juan de la Cruz, who's a Spanish mystic Christian. You follow what I'm saying? Yeah. So, and then he explains, we were reading some of the poetry. And also San Francisco of Assisi from Italy. And it's actually, if you read his books, it's actually the mood of the gopi, you know. It is not a devotee, maybe you can say, he's not practicing Krishna consciousness, but his consciousness is super elevated. It's really probably most of us, or at least myself, because he's going outside in the forest and the countryside, and he can actually, he's looking for his beloved. You know, the way he's talking is very much Madhurya Rasa. So it doesn't matter. Maybe you're not officially with, you know, Tilak and this and that, but you can have a very, very elevated consciousness. Of course, you know. So this is what you're saying. So now it's time for Vajans. Hare Krishna.